looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. We're not going to get into the doctrine of these verses. That's not our purpose tonight. But these verses continue the exhortations begun back in verse 12. And the writer of Hebrews now leaves us with the example of Esau. And we read that Esau profanely despised and sold his birthright and all the blessings and advantages that belong to it. We read of that account if we go over to the book of Genesis, chapter 25. The book of Genesis, chapter 25. Begin reading with verse 27. We read, "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sighed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, Swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised or thought lightly of his birthright. Now we read in Hebrews 12 and verse 16 that Esau was a profane person who despised his birthright. We read in Genesis 25 in verse 34. I believe Esau is a good picture of those who profess to be saved but aren't. But Esau also serves as a warning to God's people that you and I beware of losing our sense of what is truly valuable. And as we look upon the lives of God's people, and as we look upon the condition of the Lord's churches, it becomes very, very evident that we are losing sense of what is truly valuable. And as we look upon the choices that God's people and the Lord's churches are making today, it again becomes very manifest that we are losing our sense of value. Now, what is value? Value is worth. Price does not necessarily determine value. Value is worth. What determines value is usefulness. Usefulness, importance, one's estimation, one's esteem, one's respect, one's regard for a thing. And as we preach this message, we pray that each one of us, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, will examine and search our own hearts as to what is truly valuable to us. And I would ask you the question tonight, upon what do you place the most value? Upon what do you place the most value? Again, as we look at the lives of God's people and the choices they make, it becomes obvious that many who profess Jesus Christ as Savior do not see the usefulness, do not see the importance of the spiritual over the physical, and like Esau, trade away that which is valuable for that which is not. We want to call your attention to some words here in Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll take our message from these words. The first word we would call your attention to is the word birthright. And that speaks of the blessings. Then we have the words fornicator and profane. And that speaks of the spirit of Esau. We have the word sold, which speaks of the choice of Esau. We have the phrase one morsel of meat, which speaks of the object of Esau's choice. And we have the word afterward, which speaks of the consequences of Esau's choice. But first of all, we notice that word birthright. And the birthright included many blessings, such as a double portion of parental inheritance. There was rule, there was family government, there were many personal blessings from God Himself. But the blessings of the birthright are nothing compared with the blessings that you and I, as God's people, have today. Perhaps there has never, ever been a people more blessed than you and I sitting here tonight. And there has never been a people who has enjoyed more privileges and who has enjoyed more opportunities than you and I sitting here today. We have many, many blessings. We have all of us that are saved, we have all the blessings of salvation, such as life, forgiveness, justification, and we realize we can't trade away any of these things. We have life, we have forgiveness, we have justification, we have a special relationship with the Lord, we have an inheritance, we have peace with God. But what we can trade away tonight is the enjoyment of that life. We can trade away the enjoyment of the forgiveness of sins. We can trade away the enjoyment of justification. We can trade away the enjoyment of that special relationship which we have with God. We can trade away the enjoyment of the inheritance. We can trade away the enjoyment of peace with God. So we don't want to be misunderstood. We can't trade away those blessings. They're ours. But we can trade away the enjoyment of those blessings. And many times we do not enjoy our salvation. And we certainly do not enjoy our salvation like we ought to. And the reason many times is because, like Esau, we trade them away. We also have the blessing of the Word of God. We have the blessing of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we can put our light, where we can receive instruction, where we can raise our families in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have the blessing and the opportunity of assembling in the Lord's house to meet with Jesus, to hear the Word of God preached, and to worship the One who saved our souls. Those are blessings. Those are privileges. Those are opportunities that we enjoy tonight. We also have the opportunity of taking all of our cares to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity of taking all of our concerns to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity to draw from the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the blessing of being able to simply lean upon Him. We have the blessing of being able to depend upon Him. The blessing of just being able to cast our burden upon Him and to sit at the feet of Jesus. Every day we have the wonderful blessings of an almighty God. Every single day we have those blessings. We must be careful that we do not profane the blessings of God. And that brings us to our second set of words. The words fornicator and profane describe the spirit of Esau. To profane is to violate, to corrupt, to prostitute, to common use. To take that which is sacred and prostitute it to common use. So things are profaned when we take off the veneration that is due them and simply expose them to common use. Now a profane person is one that despiseth, one that makes light of or condemns sacred things. So you see, we can be guilty of profanity not just simply by using words, curse words. That's profanity. That is an instance of profanity. But not all profanity is included in that. It's much, much deeper than that. When you and I, as God's people, begin to think lightly of the things of God, that's profanity.
Amen, brother.
When you and I take the sacred things of God, and all things of God are sacred, and when we take those things of God and do not discern a difference between that which is holy and that which is unholy, that is profanity.
Amen, brother.
To despise. To think light of. So to profane, or the profane are guilty of trampling God's pearls beneath their feet. Again in Genesis 25 and 34, we read that Esau despised or thought lightly of his birthright. And that's what I believe we're guilty of tonight. We take for granted the blessings of God. We take for granted the privileges that we have. And we begin to think lightly of these things. Paul asked the Corinthians, he said, despise ye the church of God? Same as profaning it. Do you think lightly of it? Do you fail to put a difference between the church of God and your own houses? That's profanity. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 20, Paul told the Thessalonians, he said, despise not prophesying. That is, think not lightly of the preaching of God's word. When we do that, we're guilty. We're guilty of profanity. God warned his people over and over in the book of Leviticus. We won't go there for time's sake, but in Leviticus 18, verse 21, Leviticus 19, verse 12, Leviticus 20 and verse 3, and many other places, God warns Israel not to profane his name. Not to think lightly of it. To make sure you put a difference between the name of God and the name of anything else. Put that difference. Otherwise, it's profanity. He spoke of profaning the Sabbath in Nehemiah 13 and 17, and we do that when we treat the Lord's day as we would any other day of the week, that's profanity. Profane not the Sabbath. He charged with Israel several times in the book of Ezekiel of profanity. In Ezekiel 22, in verse 8 and verse 26, he charged them with being guilty of profanity. He charged them with the same in Ezekiel 23. In verse 38, and again in Ezekiel 36, verses 20 through verse 23. The problem today is that many of God's people, all of us included, are guilty of profanity. Guilty of profaning that which is of God. We may not curse with our words, but many times we take the things of God and we prostitute them out to common use. That's profanity. And that profanity is going to lead to selling and trading away the blessings of God, which we will get to very shortly. But we began to think lightly of the things of God. We began to not put much value upon the blessings of God. We get to the point where we don't see the usefulness and the importance of the Word of God in our lives. I ask you today, do you see the usefulness of this book in your life? Amen. Can you see the importance of this book in your life? Can you see the usefulness and the importance of God's Word in your homes tonight? Can you see it? Can you see the value of the Word of God? I'm afraid there are many today who have lost their sense of value for the Word of God. They no longer see the importance. They no longer see the usefulness of God's Word. And it's manifest by the way we treat God's Word. By how often we read it. By how often we study it. By how often we long to hear it preached. That tells us whether or not we think lightly of God's Word. There are many today who have no respect and no regard for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They profane the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a person speaks against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's profanity. And when we begin to esteem it lightly in our own minds, that's profanity. And it's going to lead to trading away the blessings of God. There are very few today that see the value of sitting at the feet of Jesus. How many of us every day you and I have the opportunity of sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity of drawing from His fullness. We have the opportunity of drawing closer to Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity of being more and more conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ. But do we see the value in those things today? How much time do we spend at the feet of Jesus Christ? I'm afraid many of us are guilty of thinking lightly of such a wonderful privilege that we have. As we said earlier, we have the privilege of leaning upon Him. But how many see the privilege, the value today of leaning upon the Lord Jesus Christ? How many can see the value of depending upon Him? How many can see the value of just simply trusting in Him, casting all your cares and all your concerns and all your burdens upon Him? Can you see the value in that? There aren't very many today that see the value in earnestly contending for the faith. There aren't many today who see the value in standing against the wiles and the ways of the devil. Even though the devil goes about seeking whom he may devour, they still do not see the value of standing against him. Though he goes about seeking to devour the very churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, they still can't see the importance of standing against the wiles and the ways of the devil. Though he's out to destroy their lives, and though he's out to destroy their children's lives and their grandchildren's lives, they just can't see the importance of taking a stand against the ways and wiles of the devil. We lose our sense of value. We do not see the value of standing against sin. Though it is sin that robs us of the blessings of God. Though it is sin that robs us of our joy. It's sin that robs us of our strength. It's sin that robs us of our assurance. It's sin that robs us of our peace. And yet today still, many do not see the value in resisting sin. Sin will rob you of joy. Can't you see the value of resisting it today? Sin will rob you of peace. Can you not see the value of standing against it? Sin will destroy you. Sin will ruin you. Can you not see the value of resisting sin in our lives? Sin has brought misery. Sin has brought sorrow and heartbreak. It has left many and many families in the hog pen. Can you not see the importance? Can you not see the usefulness? Can you not see the value of resisting sin in our lives? Oh, there's great value today in just standing against sin. To resist sin. To preach against sin. Many have lost their sense of value as far as bringing up their children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They've lost that sense of value. They no longer consider it important. That's profanity. Many husbands, wives, fathers, and mothers have lost sense of the value of just simply being the husband and the father that they ought to be, of being the wife and the mother that they ought to be, to being the sons and the daughters that they ought to be. They've lost sense of the value of that. There's great value in being the husband that God tells you to be. There's great value in being the father that God tells you to be. There's great value in being the wife that God tells you to be. There's great value today in being the mother that God tells you to be. And to be the son and the daughter that God tells you to be. Oh, that we might see the value of these things. But we lose sight of these things many times. We're all guilty to one degree or another. Some perhaps more than others, but we're all guilty of thinking lightly of these things. Many pastors, I'm afraid many times we lose sight of the value of the sheep. We lose sight of the value of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you and I are, when we lose sight of value, we are in danger of selling. We are in danger of trading away that which is precious for that which is not. And it's happening everywhere today. I think of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. They set a high value upon the things of God. So high that they were willing to give of their lives. I think of those who were beheaded. Those who were torn to death by wild animals. Thrown in the rivers with millstones about their necks. Those who were boiled in oil. Others were burned on gridirons. Others were made to drink of boiling oil. Others were stretched on the rack. Others were burned to death. And they went to the stake praising and worshiping God because they saw the value of a life lived for the honor and glory of God. And today, God's people can't even stand to be snickered at. They can't even stand to have someone give them a dirty look. They can't stand for someone to make fun of them. Why? Because we don't see the value of living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we need that value. We need a sense of that value. They died singing praises unto God. Why? Because God was precious to them. The truths they held in their hearts were precious to them. They were of value. They were of more value than their mothers and their fathers and their sons and their daughters and their husbands and their wives. The things of God were the most precious. But if we're honest today, that's just not so. That's just not so in our lives many times. We put so many things ahead of the Lord. Then we come to that third word, and that is sold. He had a birthright. He despised it. And he sold it. Here's Esau. He's hungry. He's thirsty. He's weary from a day in the field. And he saw more value. He saw more usefulness. He saw more importance. He had more regard. He had more respect for the food of Jacob than he did the blessings of God. He desired present gratification. And he traded away the blessings of God in order to obtain present gratification. And he didn't even know what he did. You read Genesis 25 again. After he ate of that food, what did he do? He went on his way. Not even realizing what he did. And God's people today are trading away the blessings of God and they don't even realize it. They're selling the blessings of God and they don't even realize it. One of the reasons today we have such a spirit of apathy such a lukewarmness in our churches is because of God's people and pastors also that are more interested in the gratifying of the flesh than they are the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, when that happens, that's when we're going to sell. That's when we're going to sell. You know, over in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 20, a parable is spoken in verses 39 and 40, I believe it is. But a parable is spoken to Ahab, who was to keep watch over his prisoner. And the prisoner escaped, that prisoner being Ben-Hadad. And when the captain came to him, the soldier said this. The soldier who had the responsibility said, "While I was busy, here and there, he was gone." And that's what happens to you and I. We get busy here and there. So busy, many times that we forget what is really of value. And while we were busy here and there, the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus was gone. The opportunity to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ was gone. The opportunity to speak up was gone. The opportunity to earnestly contend for the faith was gone. How many times we get so busy that we do not pray like we ought to? Busy here and there. What are we doing? We're trading away the blessings of prayer and the opportunity of prayer for the things of this world. Every day. Every day gives us an opportunity to know more of God. Every day. How many times we get busy here and there, and it's gone. That is, it's gone for that time. Every day gives us the opportunity to know more of the truths of God. But how often we get busy here and there, and before we know it, the opportunity is gone. All gone. Every day brings us the opportunity to enjoy the blessings of God, to enjoy God Himself. And yet we get busy here and there, and they're gone. Every day, we have the opportunity again to sit at the feet of Jesus. We have the opportunity of casting our burdens upon Him, telling Him our concerns. And yet instead, we choose the things that draw us further away from the Lord Jesus Christ. We choose the things that draw us further away. Why? Because we think lightly of the things of God. Every day we have opportunities to serve the Lord, but we trade them in for other things. We have the opportunity of being the child of God that we ought to be. I may have failed miserably yesterday, but today I have an opportunity to be what I ought to be. And yet many times we failed miserably yesterday, and we fail miserably today too, because we do the very same thing today that we did yesterday. We trade away the blessings of God because we think lightly of them. Today we have the opportunity of being the church member we ought to be. Perhaps yesterday you were a miserable failure, but today you have the opportunity to be the church member that you ought to be. And yet how many times we trade it away. We have the opportunity of being the husband we ought to be. We have the opportunity of being the wife we ought to be. Of being the father and the mother and the son and the daughter that we ought to be. But how often we trade these privileges away. First, we take them for granted. We begin to think lightly of them. And before we know it, we've sold them. And then notice the next phrase, because it tells us the object of his choice. One morsel of meat. One morsel of meat. Hungry, thirsty, weary, Esau sets his eyes upon the food of Jacob. And he had more regard and respect for the food of Jacob than he did the blessings of God. And we read here in Hebrews 12, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And today, God's people are trading away that which is of real value for that one morsel of meat. That's a bad deal. For one morsel of meat. How many times you and I trade away the value of, trade away the blessing of prayer for what? One morsel of meat. Trade it away. Sell it. If there was ever a time when God's preachers ought to be on their faces before God and crying out unto God, it's today. But how often we sell that for one morsel of meat. If there was ever a time when church members ought to be praying for one another and praying for their pastors and praying for the men of God, it's the day in which you and I live. But how many times they trade it away for one morsel of meat. One morsel of meat. How many times we lose sight of leaning upon the Lord and instead we lean upon our own understanding. We need strength, we need courage, we need assurance, and all of these things come from the Lord. All of these things come from leaning upon the Lord. But for one morsel of meat, we trade it all away. Trade it all away. We could have more courage if we weren't so busy trading it away for one morsel of meat. Amen, we could have more strength. Our churches could be stronger if we weren't so busy trading it away for one morsel of meat. How many times we hear the voice of God? Perhaps we can be sitting in the house of God and we can hear the voice of God calling. Calling us to draw closer to Himself. And what do? We trade it away. How many times you sat in the Lord's house and you've said, I'm guilty. I ought to repent. But did you? We trade it away. Oh, I'll do it later when I get home. No, you won't. By then you'll have traded it away for one morsel of meat. How many times we lose sight of the value of hearing the Word of God preached. People choose family reunions over hearing God's Word preached. They've sold it for one morsel of meat. And they'll never again get that same opportunity. That day's gone. But they sell it because they see more value in that one morsel of meat than hearing the Word of God. How many, instead of hearing the Word of God, choose that morsel of worldly pleasures? They're going to go on a camping trip. They're going to go to the lake. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They have sold that which is valuable for that which is very, very temporary. One morsel of meat. How many times today God's people lose sight of the value of the truth that they have been taught all their lives. And for one morsel of meat, one morsel of the gratification of the flesh, trade away the precious truth that they've been taught. Trade it away. How many times God's people take that which they know to be right, they know it's right, and they still trade it away for that which is wrong.
and that which will bring them untold misery. Happens all the time. How often those who have been raised in the truth set their eyes upon that boy, upon that girl that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ, or that knows not the truth of God, and they trade away all the truth that they've been taught for one morsel of meat. And it's happening everywhere. I'm sure it's happening here tonight. Everywhere. One morsel of meat. You're going to trade it all away. For what? For what? How many of the Lord's churches, for one morsel of the world's ways, have traded away the blessings of God? Traded away the truths that they once stood for. You have a faithful pastor who faithfully declares unto you the Word of God, who faithfully prays for you, who loves you. Do not trade that away. Won't ever trade it away. But that's happening today. All over our country. How many pastors, for one morsel of enlarging their ministry, trade away that which they know is right, that which they know they ought to stand for, but for an opportunity to preach, they trade it away? That's profanity. They trade it away. Or rather than making their ministry smaller for that one morsel of meat, they trade it away. Look at the prodigal son. He became dissatisfied with his father's house. He began to think lightly of what he had in his father's house. He began to think lightly of his father's guidance, his father's fellowship, his father's care, his father's protection, his father's provision. And he traded it all away for one morsel of the portion of his goods. Traded it all away for the desire to live his life his own way. And there are some sitting here tonight, I'm sure, you're about to trade it all away just for the morsel of living your life the way you want to. Think of what you're trading away tonight. Amen. Many have traded away that which can, that which will, and that which does satisfy for that which can't, won't, and never will. They traded away. Many have traded away that which brings joy and happiness for that one morsel, which promises to bring joy and happiness, but never, ever will. Then notice lastly, that word afterward. Afterward. That speaks of consequences. That's what Brother Asbury preached about. He sold his birthright, not considering the consequences of his action. And there are some sitting here tonight, you've lost sight. You've lost sight of the value of the Word of God. And I want to remind you tonight that there is an afterward. Amen. There is a consequence.
Amen.
You have lost sight of the value of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I remind you tonight, there is an afterward. There is a consequence. It may show up in your children, but I'm telling you tonight, there is a consequence. There is an afterward. We begin to think lightly of prayer and fellowship with the Lord and a closer walk with the Lord. Don't forget, there is an afterward. There is an afterward. Too many parents are too interested in being friends of their children instead of being moms and dads. Instead of being godly examples. May I remind you, there's an afterward. There's an afterward. We've lost sight of the value of simply walking in the Lord's ways. And there's consequences. We've lost sight of putting God first. Perhaps we've lost sight of the value of the truth. There's an afterwards. Perhaps we've lost sight of the value of being a godly father, a godly mother, setting a godly example for our children. Perhaps you've lost sight of the real value of what you've been taught. Some of you have grown up in this church and you've been taught the truth of God. Don't ever, ever lose sight of the value of what you've been taught. Because there is an afterward. And now, having lost sight of the value of what you've been taught, you then begin to exchange it for your own ways and your own desires for that one morsel. Again, I remind you tonight, there is an afterwards. And if the churches of Lord Jesus Christ lose sight of that which is truly valuable and exchange it for that one morsel, there's an afterward. And if the churches continue to exchange that which is of God for that which is of not of God, what does the afterward hold for our churches? Where does it put us? Pastors have lost sight of the value of simply preaching the truth. May I remind you, if you as a pastor decide tonight you're not going to preach this truth or that truth, there's an afterward.
Amen, brother.
And your church is going to suffer consequences. There is an afterward. It'll weaken our churches instead of strengthening them. Again, the prodigal son traded away all that he had in his father's house. For what? One morsel. Traded it all away. He was certain that he was going to have a better life. If you're a child of God, you'll never, ever have a better life compromising the truth of God. And you need to beware of anything and everything that promises you happiness and a better life at the expense of what God teaches.
Amen.
But that's exactly the prodigal son thought, if I can just get out of my home, if I can just get away from dad, if I can just get away from his rules, oh, I'll be so much happier. And he sold it all. Sold it all. And he had a sorrow that he never had in his father's house. Not saying he didn't have sorrows in his father's house, but he didn't have the same kind. He had a sorrow that he would have never had had he stayed in the Father's house. And tonight, if you're thinking about trading away the blessings of God for that one morsel of meat, I'm here to tell you tonight that you're headed for sorrows that you would never experience had you stayed with God.
Amen, brother. Amen.
You're headed for heartbreak and misery that you would have never experienced.
Amen.
Had you stayed in the fellowship of God. He had disappointment that he would have never had in the Father's house. He had waste that he would have never had in the Father's presence. He had poverty that he would have never had in the Father's presence. He had hopelessness that he would have never had in the Father's presence. There he is, in search of a better life, and look at him. He's worn, he's weary, he's ragged, he's filthy, he has no friends, he's in the hog pen, all because one day, he began to think lightly of what he had. And he traded it all away. And that's where many are headed today. Are we losing our sense of value? Are we losing sight of what is truly valuable? Are we going to continue to trade away the things of God for the things of this life. Some of you are sitting here, and you know your heart. You know that right now you're thinking lightly of the things of God. You're thinking lightly of the truth that you've been taught. And you've got your eyes on that one morsel of meat. I beg you tonight to turn to God and to cry out unto God.
Amen, brother.
To draw close unto God.
Yeah.
Don't trade it away for that one morsel of meat.
Amen.
Don't trade away your family for that one morsel of meat. How many fathers have traded away their wives and their sons and their daughters for a better opportunity? And they've traded it all away. God help us to see the value. We have abundance. We have abundance of blessing. But we set our eyes on that one morsel of meat. Oh, that we might get our eyes off of that morsel. And that we might turn our eyes unto God. God would help us. That God would give us the strength. That God would put in our hearts a love for the things of God. Such a great love that they're first in our life. And that they rule and regulate the way we live. God help us.
Amen.
Because you know tonight that some of you have already traded away. You need to come to God and repent.
Amen.
Some of you are about to. You're thinking about it. You're thinking about it. And you've been convinced in your mind that it's going to give you a better opportunity. It's going to give you more money. Your children are going to be happier. Your wife's going to be happier. No, they will not.